We are Ingrid and Hara, founders of NoCo.
This is a series of podcasts, Business of Collaboration, a conversation with a professor and a business executive.
Once per month, we interview a professor and a business on how to work together to find a common understanding and inspiration.
So subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and on our website noco.net. Join us in our journey. Today we are at Novio Tech Campus in Nijmegen, in the Netherlands, for our Business of Collaboration podcast. We are interviewing Diego Menchaca, founder of Teamscope. Teamscope is a startup originated in Chile. Diego developed a data capture application for clinical research, collecting high-quality data at the bedside, and analyzes it with a few clicks. Through an international program Novio Tech Campus is connected to, he is now located in the Netherlands, with his office at Novio Tech Campus. Here he is focused and passionate about further growing his startup into a successful worldwide business. During this podcast, we will talk about how Diego got the idea for Teamscope and his journey and successes with it so far, and what helped him along the road. We will also discuss how Diego lives a healthy and energetic life through intermittent fasting and cold morning showers. If you want to learn more about Diego after this podcast, you can read the interviews with him at noco.net. Well, good morning, Diego. Menchaca from Chile.
Menchaca.
Sorry.
No problem.
We're here at the Novio Tech Campus in Nijmegen. You're founder of the startup Teamscope, which originated actually in Chile. You have developed a data capture application for clinical research, which collects high-quality data at the bedside and analyzes it with a few clicks. So that sounds really interesting. So I want to know more about that. But first, I have a question for you. And it's not the first question, but it's the question before that.
Okay.
Because I'm really interested, what is your background, actually?
I'm an entrepreneur. And I've been an entrepreneur since I was a kid.
Wow.
I've been always building things.
Yeah.
And driving my parents crazy. Getting in trouble, that's my kind of my life story. But professionally, I studied business, and I specialized. I did a master's in entrepreneurship and innovation.
Okay,
but
nice.
I think my journey as an entrepreneur starts many years before.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
Probably a decade of playing with Legos.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Yeah.
Your creativity.
Yeah,
that's important. And where did you study?
I did my university in Chile.
Yeah.
But I've been traveling since I was a baby.
Okay.
I've lived by now in 7 countries.
Wow.
So I've lived in all over the world, and so part of my all of my schooling was spread out in different continents. And then when I was 18 years old, I moved back to Chile for my university studies.
Wow, interesting. And then when you came to here?
And I came here in 2015, a year after founding Teamscope, and thanks to the Rockstart Digital Health Accelerator, who invested in Teamscope, and I was part of their first batch. So 10 companies moved from different parts of the world to this location, and from here, we received the support of Rockstart for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've been here since.
I've had some times in which I pack my bags and leave when it gets too cloudy and dark.
in the winter time,
in
probably.
In the winter time, yeah. But I always come back because I'm a big, big fan of the city. I love my life here. It's very
it's
nice.
It's a lovely city and a nice place to have your work, actually.
Yeah. Great office. So
Good. Well, thanks. And the idea for the clinical application, where did you get that from? Where did it originate it?
Yeah, because I'm not from the field.
No.
And the story started like this. I met a emergency medicine physician in Santiago, Chile, who shared with me the struggles that he faced when wanting to do clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Diego, I have to do research because that's the only way that we could improve the quality of our healthcare and understand the quality of our service. But when wanting to do data collection and research, we're doing it all in paper forms, and it's a mess. Data is lost. It's forcing us to spend times that we could be with our patients and saving their lives. We have to be transcribing data from paper questionnaires or paper forms to Excel or spreadsheet. So it was a huge mess. And in that moment, I listened closely to him. I thought it was an interesting issue that he had. Mm-hmm. I also, in that same moment, I took out a marker, and right with him in that moment, I drew out on a table to understand a bit of the of what he was telling me, and did with some stick figures and arrows and signs, I tried to picture on that table what his issue was. And I took a picture of that drawing. I think I also grabbed something to wipe it afterwards so I wouldn't get into more trouble. and then went home that day, Googled, I think, until 3 or 4 a.m. to try to understand more in depth of what I had at hand. And I met up with him 2 weeks later. I said, here I have some designs for this solution. And the solution I had for him was a mobile app that would allow him to customize or configure data collection forms and be able to use them while he's with his patients to collect data, not just himself, but also in collaboration with the other doctors that worked with him. Wow. That's how TeamScope was born.
So that's how the app was born as well.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting, because we see a lot of startups we talk to reach out to professors. I think this medical doctor for you is a professor, or maybe he's a professor as well, of course, the medical doctor.
Yeah.
With specific expertise of his research and how he does business and what is he what he is lacking at that time. So did you make good use of his expertise during the whole process, for instance?
Well, I had no other choice, because I had honestly no clue what I was going up ahead. Literally no clue. Absolutely ill-prepared, ill-experienced, and ill-equipped for the challenge at hand. So all I could do was just apply the lean startup methodology and design thinking. Those were just my tools. So listen to him attentively.
Yeah.
You know, speak to him just as, you know, as good as I, or listen to him as close as I could. Prototype from day one and show those prototypes to him to validate if this was, if this made sense or not. There was no other choice but to rely on these techniques, because I came into it with a huge amount of naiveness, which I think also was, in a way, a good thing.
A good thing, because it fueled your creativity as well.
Absolutely.
With the doctor to collaborate.
And when we face a challenge with preconceived ideas, sometimes those preconceived ideas can blind us and can obstruct our ability to face new challenges. This is too complex for me to solve.
Exactly.
But when you don't know anything about it, you have the luxury of going into it, and you will encounter, because every problem to solve is complex, but you go into it a bit more of a, you know, with more flexibility and absorbing things and fixing them along the way.
Which is a very good point. And looking at this collaboration you had with the medical doctor, with the hospital, what were the main challenging aspects of this collaboration you can share with us?
I must say that I was very privileged in that sense, because it went pretty smooth.
Okay.
Within 90 days, I went from that drawing on that table to sending him an invoice and him wiring for that first pilot. So it went very smooth. He was a wonderful advisor and an amazing first client. Mm-hmm. So it was challenging, because we have to... My co-founder then, we'd have to spend time a lot in the hospital and observing.
Yeah.
And it was also funny, because you would learn which door you could. I would learn which door of the hospital I could go into without being asked who I was. And then you would manage to be in the emergency department.
Well,
and after some days, people say, "Hey, doctor, please." They would say, "Salute
help
you."
Us.
No,
no.
Thankfully not. But they would say hi as if I would be working there, as if I was a young resident.
Because you see them daily, probably.
Yeah, I spent. A lot of hours in that public hospital, just standing by, trying to not be noticed, but absorbing as much as I could.
Wow. And looking back at the starting point of TeamScope and all the things you learned in the beginning, what would you give? What tips would you give other startups when they are in that early stage of starting up?
Wow, that's a pretty tough question. Well, the process is pretty well described, I think, by the Lean Startup methodology and design thinking. So as long as you stick to those principles, also, for example, the MOM test, which is a wonderful, wonderful tool to validate your hypotheses and try to test, you know, is this thing I'm building going to make sense or not?
Yeah.
So as long as you stick to the MOM test from day one and you discipline yourself to not fall in love with your product, but fall in love with the problem, and you get better at the skill of talking heart to heart with your early adopters and listening to them really closely.
Yeah.
Did they have actually this problem in the last 60 or 90 days? If they had it, how big was this problem for them?
Yeah, exactly.
Did it hurt to them? If it hurt to them, how much did it hurt to them? Like, I think those questions are, and that skill is an important one for an entrepreneur to develop, because the tendency to fall in love with what you're building and the product is very high.
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah.
It's easy. It's very easy. So I advise any entrepreneur to grab a copy of the MOM test and keep it with them and go back to it and review, because I think that's a great tool.
Okay. That's a good
from
advice.
From the starting point, yeah.
Take the Lean methodology and the MOM tech facility to actually test it and test it. And
don't be afraid of going into a field that you don't know of.
No.
And embrace learning new techniques as well. Mm-hmm. I've always enjoyed drawing and coloring when I was a kid. I played for, I think, over a decade with Legos. And that does allow me to, nowadays, for example, I think 2 years ago, because I enjoy so much graphic design, and I had trouble finding good graphic designers for Teamsco, I said, you know what? This is silly. I love graphic design. Why don't I just do all the design myself?
Yeah.
So I stopped hiring more freelancers for everything that was involved with our brand or our product, and I did that all myself.
Wow.
And that's been a great experience of you know, being able to wear different new hats.
Yeah.
And understand that you might have, like our friend Tim here, he might have studied economical geography. It doesn't mean that he cannot embrace different career paths or learn new skills or and venture into totally unknown things in terms of skill set. So I also advise to startups or entrepreneurs to not from the trap of say, I am a doctor and this is what I will do all my life. Or if they do, that's also fine. But you can also grow laterally in your skill set.
Yeah. You don't have to outsource everything if you can
exactly.
learn it yourself. You can also always get advice as well.
Yeah, same with programming as well.
Yeah.
Same with programming. I mean, I know many entrepreneurs who studied different things, and they're the one of the developers in their company. So, don't fall in this kind of I am within this box, this will be my role.
Yeah. Well, it's good advice. And now you're here.
Yeah.
At Nijmegen. So I was wondering, how did you get located here at Novio Tech Campus? You were mentioning the organization, right? That it was kind of a startup. Initiative that brought you actually to Novio Tech Campus a couple of years ago. Can you tell me a little bit more about that initiative?
Yeah, and something also made a fun story is that so Rockstar invests every year in companies and they add them to their portfolio, and they were going to do for the first time a program in Nijmegen and specifically based in digital health.
Yeah.
So they do their scouting process, which is sending out hundreds of emails to entrepreneurs all over the world through different platforms like Angel.co or F6S. And we had an account created on that. So I got this email campaign from them saying, we're opening up this new batch. Mm-hmm. Would you like to apply? I filled out a form. I was back in Chile then. And we moved from the selection funnel from a couple hundred maybe or 100 startups that have been shortlisted to 50, 20, and then finally 10. And all that process was done remotely. I did it all over Skype calls. So I really appreciate it. And the confidence that the selection committee and the Rockstar founders had and say, okay, we're going to help out this entrepreneur who we've never seen face-to-face.
No, exactly.
Yeah, we were seeing him a bit crazy, but he could be even crazier than he is. So, yeah.
Well, via Skype face to face, I assume.
Yeah, well, correct.
Not
yeah,
in real life.
Indeed, that is
There was no
camera. with the video there, but that's just amazing of how technology works nowadays,
and
how my life was changed forever
because
of those Skype calls and, and the possibility. So, and then they said, okay, Diego, we'll give you the 20,000 euros in cash for, for the acceleration process, and, but you have to obviously move to Nijmegen, where there will be a process of 6 months where you'll be giving mentorship, office space, and a lot of intense support.
Hi, Diego.
Hi, Cara.
¿Qué tal?
Muy bien. ¿Y tú?
But I wanted to say hi as a warm introduction in Spanish.
Muchas gracias.
Because you are from Chile and I come from Spain, and I think it's nice as well not to have all in English, but like to acknowledge, like we can say hi in Spanish
as well.
We were discussing before, like you have some examples, and when you kick off one with one pilot in a hospital. So you can explain or to give us three concrete examples in which organizations are benefiting from your clinical app?
Yeah, we have quite a broad spectrum of use cases or type of clients. For example, there's a study running right now in the UK in an ambulance service that's part of the NHS. They're using TeamScope to capture data on a medical device that they're trying out. We have users in very remote and rural places of Africa using TeamScope for capturing data on children and using the app to screen them and refer them to other facilities. And we have still projects in Chile at ICUs or intensive care units where the app is used to do data collection and research. So it's pretty broad. Now, they all have this common denominator, which is the user is in movement, is not sitting down, but is a surgeon or a community health worker or a paramedic, and in that moment when he is in his work, he can use the app from a smartphone or a tablet.
Yeah, how did you find this organization? Because from UK, Africa is quite far away, so how did you found them?
We have different marketing channels. We do a lot of content marketing through our blog. Put out at least one article a month that gets people find us through Google through those articles. So there's a content marketing strategy there. We also reach out directly to researchers that that we find that are doing research on certain fields. It's something with professors and researchers that often their emails will be publicly visible on the university website, so it's pretty easy to send them a cold email or sometimes even a cold call. And we invest a lot of energy and time in our SEO and making sure that when people search for the keywords of our product, we rank as high as we can, yeah.
So you got all the customers you have now via marketing activities online?
Yeah, I think most of them. Absolutely. Some of them have been referrals or, for example, a Rockstar mentor that's, hey, let me connect you with Tim, and Tim is doing research in Africa. Things like that have also occurred. But we're scaling up now, so we've run out of those good friends that can refer us or connect us, so we're now relying on more scalable marketing tactics.
So that's impressive. Because for some organizations that is working much better than for other ones, and for you it's working very good, the marketing, the online marketing. Then how are you translating this search or these connections you get from the marketing to your paid customers? So how is the process you get in contact first and then you get the contract or the pilot to work with these organizations?
Yeah. Well, people go on our website and they can book a sign up for a demo. And then I do, or one of my colleagues does a call with them to demo the platform. And that is a pretty interactive demo. We ask them to install the app in that moment. And we create a specific, sometimes even if we know that they're in trauma care, we'll have a specific form so they can try it out. And then from there, there is a process of understanding how many users they will need, for how long they will need it, and understanding the pricing, because we have custom pricing depending on the features that they will need, etc. But then from that, it's pretty straightforward. We can invoice them after that within the next couple of days, and then they already have an account because that was done with the demo. They can already, we have a part of our platform where our users can, with a point and click interface, create their own data collection forms and customize or configure by themselves their own studies. So they can do that on their own. We're standing by to help them out, but then it's a pretty self-service process from there.
So based on your success stories and how you are driving TeamScope, can you provide some tips for the startups? What are your three main key points you will recommend?
It's always a tough question because the ones I mentioned before, I think sum up maybe my biggest suggestions. But Tim also mentioned the importance of not giving up and being persistent and resilient. I also think that it's important to enjoy the process, even when things are, you have your downs. Try to enjoy the life that you can create by being an entrepreneur. That's also in itself a blessing to be able to work on what you want to build and to connect with people from all over the world. So try to build a lifestyle that is resilient to the downs. And that also means sometimes being a bit more minimalistic and frugal in how you run your life. So if you enjoy what you're doing, and in the bad moments when there's no funding, you're still happy, I think that's a good combination. And the question is, understanding what do you need to do in terms of your lifestyle so you're happy with the minimum.
So I think that our last question about your startup is about what is the current status you are, because you have your customers, you have the paid customers, you are scaling up. So what is the status now, and if you have challenges there?
Yeah, our current status is indeed we're scaling up. And we're continuously investing also on our product and our platform. Some highlights for this year is that we think we got it right, and from building a data collection tool for clinical research on a phone, we're going to take now what we've learned from there and the lessons learned and transfer that also into our web tool. We have a web interface where you can create your own studies, and now what we need to do is also allow the researchers that are in fact working on a desk, which is an important portion as well, to be able to do data entry from the web browser. So that's an investment for us for this year in terms of product. It's sales is, you're asking for the challenges, and obviously sales is always tough, and researchers are not easy clients. Academia is not an easy market, we enjoy it, and there's a huge opportunity out there to help these researchers that are struggling still with their data collection, that are frustrated with the tools that they're using, that are demoralized with the time they waste transferring data from paper to a computer. So until we don't see that we've achieved our mission, we won't stop. Yeah.
So now we want to know more about you. So now we have some personal questions. To know you better, and how is your life personal, and how is matching with your professional? So, what is coming from Chile, which is an amazing place?
Thank you.
And America, what is your favorite holiday place?
That's a tough one. I think Chile is by far, maybe one of my top. Also, Bhutan has a big part of my heart. And although I didn't go to Bhutan for holidays, I went there to live. But I would, I think it's also an amazing place, a very unique place on this planet to spend some time in and understanding what they've done over there. Chile is I'm from this country, or from Chile, so it's very biased in my opinion, but Chile is a beautiful, beautiful country. I was there for 2 months. I got back a month ago, and in 1 week, I went from, so also a Dutch friend visited me while I was there, and I took him hiking. We enjoy a lot of hiking, and we went with this friend of mine, my older brother and I. We went to Patagonia, and we did hiking in Torres del Paine, which is a phenomenal place to anybody that likes the mountains and wilderness. So we hiked in Patagonia for 3 days or 4 days, and then we flew back to Santiago, which is the capital. That day, went to the apartment, did some quick laundry or left our dirty clothes there, grabbed clean ones, and went to the desert, to San Pedro de Atacama. So in the span of one week, we went from taking pictures and selfies with icebergs in Torres del Paine to being in the driest place on Earth, which is the desert of Atacama. And I do not, there are other countries that might share those contrasts, but Chile is, it is it just incredible. I think that everybody should consider going to Chile, especially if you like adventures and hiking. We might not have the museums of Europe and, you know, the architecture of the European capitals, but we have some just beautiful places to go get lost for a few days.
Yeah, the nature.
The nature, yeah.
You get the nature. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
So, we are wondering, how do you start your mornings? How is your breakfast?
Well, I don't have breakfast. I've switched to intermittent fasting for now over a year and a half. So I don't have breakfast. My first meal is around now. So around now, I'm my blood glucose has gone down quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to my first meal of the day. And so I don't have breakfast. And I something also I did, which I advise to other entrepreneurs, is that I switched to cold showers.
Cold showers?
Yes. I no longer shower unless there's very, very few exceptions. But my normal routine and drill is to always shower with cold water. And that is a phenomenal, incredible way to start your day.
So you are fasting and you are getting the cold showers because health, you know, there is this, I don't know how to call it, maybe a trend of healthy eating, and fasting is one of to keep us healthy, because
correct.
In the before days of humanity, it was not this quantity of food we are not eating every day. Yeah,
there was no Albert Heijn. Right?
Yeah, it was not Albert Heijn. So one of the trends is to go back to our old ways of eating, and this was fasting, because before the humanity of the animals, is that we have not food there everywhere in time.
Yeah.
So indeed. You are doing this because health, or why you are fasting and... You are getting the
course. Yeah, it's like a training thing, and just mind training. You said it, like 2000 or not even 2000, not 200 years ago, there was no refrigerator, and we have, I think we have been built and designed by nature to be resilient to more than 16 hours of no food. There's examples of people that have done fasting for 30 days or even more, and they're in great, great shape and great health. So fasting is a great way to take control over a bit more of your body and not be so dependent on food for happiness. You really understand when you fast for long periods that the main reason we eat is not to stay alive or for our body to function or to think, to breathe, but is that food brings us happiness. And it's a medium for us to sometimes calm our anxieties. And when you say, okay, you know what, I'm not going to put any calories on my mouth for the next 16 hours, the only thing you can resort to is just train your mind. Say, like, you don't need to be... Something that I experienced before doing fasting is that I was very dependent on food to be on a good state. And if there was no food, I would get headaches and grumpy. And that moment, I said, this was, I think, 2 years ago that I experienced a peak in this dependency of food. I said, this cannot be. It cannot be that just because I don't have food, my afternoon is going to be ruined, my morning is going to be ruined. I cannot be dependent on food to treat others well or treat myself well.
And you are feeling now you are feeling clean and full of energy?
Yeah, absolutely. Something that fasting does is that it gives you this state of mental clarity, which is really, really powerful. I advise everyone to try it. And I've also started to combine it with physical exercise. So, for example, whenever I do something which is physically pretty intense, I will also fast. So, for example, I walked the FIDAXA, the 4 days march here in Nijmegen, 2 years ago, and I walked every day at least 15 or 20 kilometers, also in a fasted state. So I wouldn't have anything to eat. After I saw that, I would pass the 15 or 20 kilometer mark. And you see that you're fine. Like, we don't eat to survive. We eat because eating causes happiness.
Yeah.
Our body is designed to, you know, to walk for 3-4 days without any food, and you know, and do whatever it can to get that food. So I think it's great when we allow our bodies to go back into this more natural mechanisms. And the cold shower is the same. The hot water did not exist until a couple hundred years ago in terms of bathing, or maybe there was a way of heating it up, but certainly not 2000, or I don't know. There it was just all cold. And it's impressive to think that the hot shower is a luxury of really a small portion of the planet. So we think that, oh, like it's a crazy thing to do, but millions and millions of people take cold showers every single day because that's the only thing they have. So it's also a way to just say that, you know, train our minds and our bodies. And it's cold showers is like the Rolls Royce of personal development. Fasting is great, but cold showers is, it doesn't get better than that in terms of personal development and growth. And it really enjoy, I enjoy every shower I take in the morning.
Yeah, I think it's the next level when we are talking about control our minds and be there and with this clarity on mind. Because I can imagine when you are getting fast food, for instance, you will get depressed automatically, yeah. And your brain, because you are so trained, you train your body in this way. Like when you are eating trash food, we can say, then your body is down, it's sick.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I do eat French fries. That's a Dutch French fries with the mayonnaise combination. I'm a big fan of that. Yeah.
So the last question is because you are telling about you are walking. So what are you doing in your spare time or in the weekends?
I spend most of my time with friends. I like to. I also enjoy improv theater. Started doing that last year, and I've been doing that quite a bit since then. Fell in love with it, and so I spend a lot of time with that and with my improv theater friends as well, who are crazy people, also worth interviewing because they're all. But I enjoy that. I also enjoy photography as well, and yeah, also just resting sometimes is needed. The week is pretty intense, so just nice to stay in bed in the weekend, just chill. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Diego. I think it was an amazing interview, and thank you for sharing your deep personal thoughts about life and how you are living your life. That's pretty impressive. And thank you for opening the eyes as well to Chile.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
To the nature of Chile.
It's a pleasure as well, Ingrid, Jara, and Tim, to come together today to talk about these things. And yeah, happy to help you guys out also in the journey of no code towards the future in any way that I can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you for listening to the podcast. As usual, you can find a sum up of this podcast with pictures and interviews at noco.net. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our account is noco platform. See you next month.